was speaking on sex in a single video game. I just want to mention, this is a little experiment in rumor mongering. It is not true that we are looking to make the focus of our new master's program be sex and video games. That is not true. I'm going to see how long it takes that rumor to get reversed and dissipated throughout the campus. Without further introduction, Mr. Fingal.
So thank you very much. I've been thinking about giving this lecture since I attended some sessions and roundtables at the Game Developers Conference in 2006, where there were some lectures about sex in video games and some rants from developers, and it really started me thinking about this topic, and I'm very happy to have the opportunity to talk about it now. Whoops, I'm supposed to be wearing the microphone, right? Thank you. Is that better? Okay. I'll have to guess at what I was saying there on the video before this. As prologue, I want to refer to an essay by Henry Jenkins, formerly of MIT, who is a media theorist. And he wrote an essay in 2005 where he referred to this book called The Seven Lively Arts by Gilbert Seldes. And he took the really quite radical position at the time that jazz, film, and comic books should be considered as art. And Seldes said that as the gatekeepers of high art considered these, you know, mere popular entertainment. And, you know, now we have jazz concerts at the at Boston Symphony Hall. We have film series at the Museum of Fine Arts. You know, I mean, it's clearly they are art forms. What's it?
Comics?
I think comics are still on the border as whether people consider them an art form or not. I'll leave that out. Anyhow, Jenkins argued that video games should be considered an art form as well. And if they're an art form, they need to be able to reflect a range of human emotions. One of the topics we talk about in IMGD 1000 is the emotional dimension of games. The emotions that games evoke in their players are aggression, competition, murderous rage, right? But not so much tenderness and caring and love, right? And so if video games engage those emotions, well, the topic of sex is going to come up as well. So that's sort of the starting point for this talk. Here are some sources I used. There's an excellent book by Brenda Brathwaite called Sex in Video Games. It says here related book. It's really not... I just wanted you to know about this book, if you didn't already. From Barbie to Mortal Kombat, Gender and Computer Games by Henry Jenkins and Justine Castle. That's really a book about gender roles in video games and is somewhat different from what I'm talking about today, but is an interesting book in its own right, and I thought I'd give Henry a shout-out here. So, here, first of all, let me say that I'm going to be discussing mainly mainstream games in the U.S. market. So, there's a lot of sexual content in games in Japan that don't make it to the U.S., that's really not what I'm discussing. And I'm not discussing sort of the porn game market, where there are games that are sort of an excuse to look at sexual pictures and aren't really much in the way of video games and certainly aren't mainstream. So I'll talk first of all about sexual content in video games. Let me say there will be some sexual pictures, and if anyone is offended by that, they should leave or avert their eyes. The second topic is sexy content in video games, and so I want to distinguish between the two. By sexual content, I mean depiction of sex acts. And by sexy content, I mean sexy pictures that don't necessarily have to do with actual sexual activity. Then I'll talk about some technical and business issues. You have to know that a professor can even make sex boring. What and comparisons with other entertainment media. So sex in video games is treated by lawmakers and by businesses very differently than sex in other entertainment media. I want to talk about what some of those are and what some of the technical and business reasons for those differences are. And then there's a brief sermonette. I hope this won't be like at my synagogue where everyone leaves before the sermon. But it's brief. It's a sermonette. It's not really a sermon. Okay, so examples of sexual content. So sort of the first one everybody quotes is this game Custer's Revenge. Anybody play Custer's Revenge? Oh, good. Okay. So the goal of the game, so it refers to General George C. Custer in the Indian Wars. And the goal of the game is for a soldier to avoid the arrows that are coming down and rape an Indian woman. Obviously, a game that glorifies rape deserves to be condemned, and the game was, and it was very controversial. The nudity in the game was also a point of controversy, and that just strikes me as silly. How many of you played Atari 2600 games? Yeah, okay. We're still in that generation. You know, the graphics aren't much. I can't imagine that anyone found this titillating. That it found this, you know, what?
Prurient.
Pure appeal to their prurient interests. So, here's the picture of General Custer and the Indian woman. I don't know how well this is visible from the back. General Custer's penis consists of 3 pixels, and the Indian woman has a. She looks like she's made out of Lego blocks. I don't know. So let me say that I don't mean to minimize the wrongness of having a game that glorifies rape, but the nudity I think was nothing to get real upset about. What's that? Right. Okay. So moving forward to a time when games could actually depict people in a way that looked like people, there's a game called Singles Flirt Up Your Life. Any of you play this? No. No one else. Yeah, me too. No one else much. So it's sort of like The Sims, but without the parts blurred out. Right. So it's a sandbox game like The Sims is, where you make relationships with people, you do stuff. But the goal of the game is to create a relationship with someone else and then have sex with them. It was released in 2 versions: M for these are the ESRB ratings, M for mature, and AO adults only versions. For the most part, the AO version was not available in retail stores. It was just available online. An exception is Fry's Electronics. How many of you have shopped at a Fry's? You are lucky people, right? So, me too. This is a big computer electronics store, mostly in California, but in other states as well. They've carried the AO version. Here's an example of a scene from Singles. The sex scenes were pretty tame, this was what was in the game. Okay, so moving on, at about the same time, there's the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas Hot Coffee mod. So I'm guessing everyone has heard of that. This was a sex scene. Actually, it was a sex mini game that was included in the game in Dead Code. So the code and the art assets for the game for this portion of the game were on the game disc. But if the game was used normally, you would never be able to get into that scene. Right. So. And when the mod was first discovered, the developers first claimed that it hadn't been part of their game at all. My guess is that the management was unaware that it was there. And on further investigation, it turned out it had been distributed on the disk. It was quite easy to unlock in the PC version, just because PC systems are more open. It was possible to unlock it on the consoles as well, but somewhat more difficult. So there was an uproar that this was being released. The game was released originally with an M rating, mature, which meant you had to be 17 or older to buy it. If the ESRB rating had been aware of the presence of the sex scene, it should have gotten an M rating, which meant you had to be 18 or older. I'm not sure why seeing the sex scenes would corrupt 17-year-olds, but be okay for 18-year-olds. But that's the way the rating systems work. It led to a revision of the ESRB rating system, and a tremendous financial loss to Rockstar, who had to replace the games. So now we'll see if the video actually works. I'm sorry. Let me pause this. You'll notice if you look at the video closely, which I'm sure you all will. You'll notice that the people in the video are both clothed, right? So in terms of how revealing the scene is, it seems to me it's pretty minimal. And while it's clear that there are sex acts being depicted, no actual sex organs are shown in the video. So let me see if I can get this running again. So let's try this again. So you'll notice that this is actually a mini game. You get to press up and down in order to work that. There's an interface element here called excitement, and that goes up and down. So if this were a scene in a movie, what rating would the movie get? Yeah, it would be an R-rated, right? So Brenda Brathwaite's book refers to this as simulated sex, right? I don't know what else video game characters can do, but anyhow, in the movie industry, they would call this simulated sex because you don't actually see the sex act. So this is what the controversy was about. Another game was called Fahrenheit in Europe and called Indigo Prophecy in the U.S., and it was released, again, about the same time as the hot coffee controversy. It's a mystery adventure game, so there's been a series of unexplained murders. The character you play mostly seems to have committed them, but it's not clear what's really going on, and it's a matter of unraveling that. The version released in Europe had some sex scenes in it. They were removed when it was released in the U.S. At the insistence of the publisher, who presumably just wanted to avoid the controversy. But the sex scenes were an integral part of the narrative. So, you know, there are games and movies where the sex scenes are put in just sort of to make the rating higher or to attract people who like that sort of thing. But this was an integral part of the narrative. The developers referred to their game as an interactive drama. Fortunately, they didn't say that too much because that's kind of the kiss of death for a video game. But it really was a very complex drama. And for those of you who own Indigo Prophecy for the PC, it's easy to restore the sex scenes. So I won't tell you where to find that, but Wikipedia might be a place to look. There was essentially no controversy about this, despite the fact that the sex scenes, I don't think, are any less explicit than in Grand Theft Auto. And it's not clear why there wasn't a controversy about it. Maybe it's because they didn't sell millions of copies. Maybe it's because the overall tone of the game is not so objectionable as the overall tone of Grand Theft Auto, which, after all, is about glamorizing the life of a drug dealer, right? So, and you know, you don't run over pedestrians in Indigo Prophecy. So, it was much less controversial. So here's a video clip from Indigo from Fahrenheit. It gets brighter in a minute.
So it's a cutscene.
What's it? Yeah, this. No, actually, there's some interactive elements to it. So you can see there's some interface elements. Okay, so again, I don't think this is any, you know, any worse than an R rating for a movie, but these scenes, you know, would have gotten an AO rating if it had been released in the United States. Okay, next thing I want to talk about is sexy content as opposed to actual depiction of sexual activity. And this is an example from...
It's like Guild Wars.
I think it's World of Warcraft. And she is wearing the famous bikini armor. It's not well? Okay. I just grabbed this as an example of bikini armor off the... right, exactly. I Googled bikini armor and came up with hundreds of pictures, so I may have included the wrong one. What?
Okay,
I'm not a military expert, but I think probably bikini armor is not a good idea in battle. And of course, the point is to present a sexy image. Now, I've seen people complain about the sexy images in some MMOs that are otherwise sort of suitable for children, at least you know, who can put up with the blood and gore, but they you know, these people find the sexy images objectionable. I've seen other people. I saw someone who purported to be a woman posting. You know, you never know. Who said she liked to play sexy characters because, gee, she liked to play somebody attractive and fit and you know, with a nice body. I have to say. So in some MMOs, when I play MMOs, about half the time I play a male character and half the time I play a female character. Does that make me bisexual? Sometimes when I'm playing a female character, I understand that other players are, how do you say the word, oogling me. And it makes me, what? Ogle? So it makes me feel a little uncomfortable, right? So the sexy characters are there, the sexy female characters, presumably to appeal to male players who like that sort of thing. So Tomb Raider, 1996 and every couple years thereafter. So Lara Croft was the heroine, and she was kind of sexy. She didn't appear in bikini armor. She did appear in bikini swimsuits when it was appropriate, but her normal dress was sort of the thing you might think that an adventurer running around ancient tombs around the world might wear. So she was a sexy character, and so that aspect of her perhaps appealed to people who like to see sexy images. But she was also an accomplished female character, and a lot of women have written about how it was a nice change to be able to play a female character who was competent and the heroine of the story, or the protagonist, and actually did things besides being a damsel in distress, right? So the game actually got a lot of interest from both camps. Yes.
I'm wondering about mods for Grand Theft Auto unlocked sexual content, but since Tomb Raider has been around, there have been nude mods.
Right.
For Lara Croft.
Right. So there are nude. So there are nude mods. You can download mods that make Lara Croft nude. There are websites devoted to nude. If you Google nude Lara Croft, I imagine you'll find lots of hits. But that's not controversial since it wasn't in any sense part of the original game content. In Tomb Raider Legend, the 2006 Tomb Raider game, you could choose clothing for Lara at each level. And since, she spent some time in the jungles of Bolivia and other times in the mountains of Nepal, she needed different clothing for these. But in each case, depending on whether you were interested in the sexy part or interested in the accomplished female character part, you could choose either a sexy outfit or a more practical outfit. So here are examples of two things she might have worn in the jungle. Again, I've never done jungle exploring, but it's my understanding that covering up your body is a good idea to prevent insect bites and snakes and things like that. But the picture on the right is actually the traditional Lara Croft costume. I mean, she's been wearing since 1996 in rather blockier form. And of course, so the very short shorts and the tight sweater sort of emphasize her sexy characteristics. Where were you? This next one is winter outfit to wear in Nepal, and the one on the left has a heavy coat, not too heavy. The one on the right is no coat. I don't know that I would want to go to the ice mountains of Nepal without a coat, but that was one of the options in the game. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. So this featured the women characters from the Dead or Alive fighting game. But instead of fighting, they're on vacation at a beach resort. I suppose technically this falls in the genre of sports games, but I don't think it's really about volleyball, right? So on the left, you see they actually play volleyball. And on the right, we I have sort of another image. Lots of sexy images. You also control the camera, so you can get a close-up of whatever bits you would like. This was a mainstream game. It was actually released for the Xbox 360. Was it exclusive to the Xbox? It's an example of a mainstream console maker being willing to release kind of sexy content. There we go. Okay. So this is called Sex Cells, which of course is something that marketing people all know, and revolves around ads for Evony. This is a free-to-play MMO. The market for free-to-play MMOs is pretty crowded, and so they were trying to make themselves stand out. And lazygamer.co.za had a long article about their series of ads and has actually many more ads than I'm going to show you to show the progression of ads for Evony. So this seems like a fairly straightforward ad. It has the name of the game. It has their distinctive logo, which I guess is a globe inside the O. It has the important information that it's a free game. And it shows you a guy in armor with a sword, and so you understand that it's kind of an arms and armor hack and slash fighting game, right? So
it's not.
It's not.
It's a Civ.
Oh, so
even that's
okay. Very good. I haven't played the game myself. So apparently they didn't do so well with that ad. So they created this ad. With a picture of the Queen, who seems to have lost some of the buttons from her dress. And in case you didn't notice, they have like a big arrow for pointing to her cleavage. They got a little sexier. I'm told, I take it you've played the game, Dean? Or? That this has nothing to do with the content of the game.
No,
right, okay.
Actually,
I see, to make you know that it was a Civ game. Yeah,
and it looks so much like Civ, I think it was called Civity originally, and they changed that without talking about it.
Uh-huh, okay.
I think they got a slave assist.
So apparently that ad wasn't enough, and so we got a little more direct here. Finally, in case you really needed to be hit over the head, this is I have to get off this page when I talk. The fact is that sexy images appeal to certain players, and if they're going for youngish male players, perhaps this is the way to attract them to the game. Yes.
I just add that this has affected gameplay in the world because thousands of players log on, start a city, and find out
that there's no breasts. You're right.
And so you actually have a landscape littered with empty cities that no one ever comes back.
Yeah, I see. Okay, very interesting. So far I've been talking about sexy female characters, which presumably appeal to male players, there are sexy male characters as well. They're less prevalent than sexy female characters, but Brenda Brathwaite in her book mentions Duke Nukem and Kratos as sexy male characters. She also reprints a survey from girlgamers.com in which people voted for the sexiest male characters. So Here's pictures of them. I like that red swoopy thing. I'm thinking about doing it myself. They're pretty impressive. When I was looking on the on Google Images for images of Kratos, I found a reimagining of Kratos that I thought I would share with you. This is from Little Big Planet. I don't think anyone would find that especially sexy, except perhaps a sack girl. But anyhow. Okay, so I wanted to talk now about some technical and business issues. First of all, why there is so little, relatively speaking, sexual content in mainstream video games. Why isn't there more of it? And the answer is that there's a lot of pressure to keep it out of games from retailers and from legislatures. Talk about first some of the technical issues. So Custer's Revenge was a game for the Atari 2600. Anybody could make a game for the Atari 2600. I mean, you had to make a cartridge, but it was no secret how to make the cartridge. And there was no technical way to prevent third-party cartridges from playing on the system. They just hadn't thought about that. So, in fact, Activision, which had nothing to do with Custer's Revenge, but Activision was made up of former Atari employees who were disgusted with the fact that their games were making millions of dollars for Atari, and they were being paid peanuts. So they left Atari, they started Activision, made these games for the Atari console. Atari sued them, claiming that they were violating Atari patent rights, and they lost, and so it established the fact that third parties could make games. But since then, consoles have included a so-called lockout chip. Whether it's actually a separate chip or not, I have no idea, probably not. But there's a technical reason why you need some encoding information from the console maker in order to legally make games for the console. So console makers now can control the content of their games, of the games that are played on their consoles. So consequences of this lockout are developers need the permission of the console maker to make a game for the console. Since it costs many millions of dollars to make a game, nobody wants to make a game and then be told by Microsoft later, sorry, you can't do that on the Xbox, right? So developers work with the console makers as they're planning a game for the Xbox 360 or the PS3 or the Wii to make sure that their game will be acceptable. Sometimes changes need to be made late in the process in order to get approval. So the console makers say that they're ensuring quality of games. Microsoft wants to make sure that nobody releases sucky games for the Xbox 360. I would say they're moderately successful in that. But at least they make sure that there's at least a certain level of quality for any commercially released game, right? The other consequence has to do with money. So the game publishers have to pay a royalty to the console maker, around $10 per copy of the game. So this is actually an important part of the business model of making and selling consoles. At least in the early days of making a particular model of the console makers lose money on each console that they sell. But they make it up in the volume. No, they don't make it up in the volume. They make it up in the royalty fees from the games that are sold, right? And that seems to me legitimate. But one consequence is that the console maker can limit the content in terms of violence. No, they don't do that. But they can also limit the content in terms of sexual content. And so they don't allow any AO games on the consoles. There are no AO games for the Xbox or the PS3. So what about PC games? Well, nobody controls the rights to PC games. There's no lockout chip. So anybody who wants to can make a PC game. But The economics of developing a AAA game are that you know, you have to develop it both. Almost all AAA games that aren't specific, not including MMOs and maybe RTSs, are made both for the consoles and the PCs, or maybe just for the consoles. But if they're going to make a PC version, they make a console version as well. Why? Because the market for console games is much larger. So you can do a lot of joint development of a console version and a PC version. And since the console version can't have any sexual content, well, the PC version isn't either, right? So another limitation on sexual content in PC games is that most retail outlets will not carry AO games. So AO is the ESRB rating for 18 or older. And, you know, GameStop and Best Buy and other retail outlets will not carry AO games. I mentioned that Fry's Electronics carries AO games. You can walk down the shelf, down the aisle, and pick up a copy of the AO version of Singles Flirt Up Your Life. So many of you know that I spend some time every year in California at the Silicon Valley Project Center, where there are 3 Fry's stores in easy driving distance. And I haven't noticed any great moral decline in the area because Fry's sells AO games. But obviously, people are concerned about it. You have noticed a moral decline? No.
maybe you're the frog in the cook pot. He doesn't notice because it's slow.
I see, right. So there's a gradual moral decline. I don't know.
Somewhere near Los Angeles?
I'm sure there are fries. there are fries down there. Los Angeles has its own problems. So, the fact that retail outlets won't carry this, you can buy these games online. But that's still a relatively small part of the market. When I was at the Game Developers Conference, I heard about the Walmart M. So Walmart checks the content of games before they decide to carry them. In fact, they have conversations with developers while the game is being developed. And they won't sell games with any nudity, even if the games are rated M. They do carry some M-rated games. You know, chopping up people is okay at Walmart, but not showing nudity. At the GDC roundtable I attended, there was one of the lead developers for God of War was there. He went on an extended rant about Walmart. While they were in development, Walmart objected to the nudity in God of War. There are some bare-breasted female warriors in God of War. Walmart asked them to change the content so there wouldn't be any nudity, or else they wouldn't carry the game. So developers refused. Good for them. And Walmart didn't carry the game until it became a really big seller. Then they started carrying the game. But they had a policy that if anybody complained about, I bought this game at your store and it has nudity in it, they would pull the game from that store. This guy was telling a story about Walmart, I said, big deal, who buys games at Walmart? And then he said, you're probably thinking, big deal, who buys games at Walmart? Which I thought was very insightful of him. How many of you have bought a game at Walmart? Yeah, okay, a few people. Walmart is a big seller of video games. Hardcore gamers mostly buy at GameStop or Best Buy or online, or we'll talk about other ways of getting games. Walmart is actually a big market, so the fact that they have this policy really is a problem for developers. So here's the sermonette. Why have sex in games? Sex is part of life. Sex is an important part of life. From a biological point of view, sex is kind of the purpose of life. I mean, you know, the whole way evolution works is that we're supposed to reproduce and create future generations. Sex is an important part of life. And if games are to explore important issues in people's lives, they ought to be able to explore sex. So why restrict sexual content in games? Well, I think it's largely that people think of video games as toys for children, right? And, of course, sexual content is not appropriate for young children. So, and also, game publishers are risk-averse. Means they don't like risk. Brian Moriarty, is he here? Oh, yes, right. Was talking in our department meeting the other day about sequelitis. Everybody's scared about the recession. I mean, game developers, game publishers, and everybody just wants to make sequels because they're less risky. You know, if you make Halo 5, whatever number we're up to, you know, there's a ready-made audience for it, whereas if you make something original, you know, it's more of a risk. Yeah.
I was going to say, I was talking to my dad about the whole fact that games are still, say for Nintendo, games are still selling high, and the reason for that is they're kind of like the movies of the time of the Great Depression, which is to say no matter how bad a position gets, people are still going to buy games because it takes them out of the cold, hard, and unforgiving world and into another reality.
Right, so the theory was, when we realized we were in a recession, that games would do well because it was a fairly cheap escape, that is $50 for many hours of entertainment, and it provided an escape mechanism. It seems not to be entirely true. The game studios are all laying people off. Sales are down, so it's an attractive theory. So the fact... My degree is in mathematics. I like attractive theories, but you know, every once in a while you have to come down to the real world. So the fact that game publishers are risk-averse means that if they make a game and they put some sex scenes in it and it turns out that it sparks a big controversy, even if they put some very mild sexual content in the game, if it sparks a lot of controversy and people start picketing stores that carry it or something like that, they're going to lose a lot of money. So, you know, they're not... they're not eager to take that kind of a risk. A comparison with other media. So there was another rant at the GDC roundtable about how unfair it was, the way sexual content in games was treated. And the ranter mentioned that Sony, the owner of the PlayStation, who will not allow any AO games on their PlayStation, is the distributor for Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo, which has full frontal nudity, right? So, and probably lots of other movies with more sexual content than the games that they won't allow. So depiction of sex in movies seems to be more acceptable than depiction of sex in video games. Now, it is true that video games are interactive, which is the essence of video games, so it's a different sort of experience, although pressing the up and down arrows while you're watching somebody on screen, I don't know that that really changes the quality of the experience an awful lot. Walmart sells R-rated films, including this one he mentioned, Old School, which I don't know. Which includes a humorous depiction of statutory rape. So, not to say that we ought to encourage video games about rape, but the fact is that there's a different standard for movies. And Microsoft, the maker of the Xbox, their ebook section contains an entire erotica section, so lots of sexual content there. A New Hope. This is perhaps not the most fortunate title to put on this slide. So, will attitudes be different when legislators and store managers and the CEO of Walmart are people who grew up with games? So, the idea is that when it's gamers running the world, sort of the attitudes from retail stores and legislators and so forth about video games will be different. I've read that President Obama is a gamer, but he still criticizes video games for creating a nation of couch potatoes, which is perhaps fair. But he's certainly not pro-gamer, right? And he hasn't come out strongly in favor of lifting restrictions on content of games. I'm sort of going over my plans for the talk with my wife, and I mentioned this point, that, you know, maybe things will be different when legislators are people who grew up with games. And she said, well, they haven't legalized marijuana, have they? So the point is that I'm guessing that pretty much every member of the Massachusetts legislature, given their age and when they grew up, has used marijuana. We don't have to ask them. It would be rude. But it hasn't changed their attitude about laws about marijuana, right? As someone said to me recently, do as I say, not as I did, right? And so that suggests that maybe this theory about how legislation and retail policies about video games will change when video gamers run the world maybe is overly optimistic. So, and here comes, this is the real sermonette here. So there's a bumper sticker that says, I'm a gamer and I vote. The point is that there's a lot of pressure on stores and politicians to restrict the content of video games because there are well-organized groups applying these pressures. There are conservative groups who are, think that this content should be restricted in video games, and they apply the pressure. There are lots of people who disagree with that position, but they're not as well organized. So there are a number of groups that are trying to organize lobbying efforts and educational efforts about video games to approach politicians. And one of them is the Entertainment Consumers Association. And it took me some time to... I'm a member, but their website is theeca.org. They keep track of legislation and court cases involving video games. They urge legislators to take a more reasonable view, and it only costs $15 a year for students, right? Or faculty, actually. So I encourage you to at least to
give codes for 10% off games at Amazon.
Yeah. So they actually, there's some member discounts at I forget, thinkgeek.com, I think. Also, you get a discount there. And they give out a daily newsletter with news about video games. So that's what I had to say about sex and video games. Thank you very much.